seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the book of Genesis, chapter 50, and we will read verse 21. The book of Genesis, chapter 50, and verse 21. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. The book of Genesis, chapter 50, and verse 21. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. The brethren of Joseph were so troubled after the death of Father Israel, their beloved father, how Joseph would deal with them after the death of Father Israel, because they immediately thought of the evil they had done to Joseph, and they were to be brought where the Lord showed Joseph they would be brought, to fall down before him. And you see, because of their jealousy and envy and pride, they sold him down into Egypt. But the Lord wonderfully went before them, didn't he? And before Joseph, it wasn't by chance that he was there, but he was there as a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And we see here in Joseph, in what he did for them and what he spoke to them, how typical it was of the dear Lord Jesus, and how he dealt with those that rebelled against him and dealt very unkindly to him. But you see the compassion there was in the Saviour, and here we find it with Joseph. But I want us helped us to look at a few things in leading up to the text. First of all, how Father Israel had commanded them they should confess their sin and guilt and plead for forgiveness. Wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord gives us grace to acknowledge our sin and confess our sin before the Lord and plead for his forgiving love. And we read, so shall ye say unto Joseph. This is what their father had said, and thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Oh, how wonderful it was to see these hard, rebellious men brought right down to real confession, to real repentance before Joseph. And how he wept over them. But then, secondly, we find Joseph speaking so kindly to them. Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." You see, the things that so often we feel are against us, and we may feel evil in them. And yet, we find with these brethren of Joseph that God meant it unto good. There's a beautiful word and promise, isn't there, in the letter of Paul to the Romans in chapter 8. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose." And you think how this all worked together, didn't it, for good. We read in chapter 45 when he said to them, Joseph said to them that God had sent him before them to be a posterity in the earth. And there we find in this chapter him speaking this to them. "But as for you," oh, you see, he brings it right home to them. "But as for you," think about it in your heart and mind. "But as for you," we are no better than these brethren if we know our own hearts. The enmity against God, the evil there is within the sinner's heart. I often quote the words of the hymn writer, "But a sink of sin and unbelief." And so often that is so, isn't it? But you see, their evil intentions, God was to make work for good. Oh yes. He can overcome all the things of man, and he can do it in a moment. And look how he did it with these brethren of Joseph's. Do you see, they were Joseph haters. They were Joseph murderers. And yet the Lord brought them to this place where they had to confess all their sin before Joseph. But then, God meant it unto good to bring to pass, and you know the Lord will bring to pass his purposes, his will, the promises that he promises his dear people, he shall bring to pass. And he has all power to do it. And so he did for Joseph and the brethren here, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You know, there would have been many of the household of Jacob that would have perished because of the famine in the land. had not Joseph been in Egypt to wonderfully provide for them, to save much people alive? And think of the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, let us go by faith to Calvary. Had not the dear Saviour, you see, the evil men took him to Calvary to crucify him. They didn't realise, as he said, didn't he, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." And those brethren of Joseph, they didn't know what they were really doing, did they, when they sold him down into Egypt. But you see, with Christ suffering and then shedding his precious blood and then laying down his precious life for his dear bride to save much people alive, the whole election of grace, to save them from eternal death, eternal destruction, to save much people alive. And as it was naturally here with these brethren and the families of them down in Canaan, it was to save much people alive. And then the words of our text, may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply them to us tonight. Now therefore, the word of God is so precious in its reality. And you see, these words that Joseph was to speak to these brethren was just what they needed. Suited, the hymn writer said, to every sinner's case. Now therefore, now I don't know what you may be in tonight, but you see, now the thing had come, the hour had come. Dear Father Israel had been laid in the grave. These brethren of Joseph, what would become of them? They fearing for their lives, seeing they done so much evil. It was now. That was the present state of things. What about your heart and in your pathway now? Now. You see, they were faced with this. How would they fare? Now, therefore, seeing the situation they were in, and the Word of God, inspired by the blessed Holy Spirit, is so suited, isn't it, right up to this present day. Now, therefore, seeing what you're in, the circumstances you're under, now therefore, seeing all this, and all the fears there were in these brethren. There's the one here tonight that feels like them. They looked to the future, if they feared. They looked to what they'd been as poor, vile sinners and hating Joseph. And they feared. They looked to all their providential pathway, and they feared. They looked about their children, what would be come of them, they feared. And so we may name many things, but bring it right home to us here, is the one fearing. I love that couplet of the hymn, "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread," and you look at the dark clouds you may have in circumstance, in providence, the dark clouds of sin. You see, there was a dark cloud of sin overshadowing these brethren of Joseph. Oh, there was. And they feared that cloud. You know, so often And I was a lad, we lived in Kent. We lived in between two hills. Those where you go up to Cranbrook, and then as you go up to Sutton Valence, and you know, so often we used to get a storm, particularly at night, and that storm would rock between those two hills. It got in the valley, you see, and oh, many times we were fearing. I think on my father's farm there was hardly an oak tree that was not struck by lightning. You could see the devastation of the power of the storm. One after another would come. And as a little lad I used to fear them. And you see, you used to look out and as a child and you'd see this black storm coming and you'd fear. And think about it concerning the clouds in the pathway. You may have clouds of affliction, clouds of trouble, clouds in your circumstances, clouds in your soul. You see, they've got this dark cloud of sin over them. What they had, the evil of their past days. But here was a word, you see, that was to settle them and to calm them down and take away those fears. Now therefore, seeing this cloud, seeing this trouble they were in, fear ye not. Fear ye not. Go back to the hymn, ye fearful saints. Fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. And you think of these brethren, that's exactly what was to happen. And so he says to them, and none could say it but Joseph. Think about it in your soul and mine and in your pathway. None but the heavenly Joseph could whisper this. Fear ye not. You know, this is the same word that the Lord spoke to the children of Israel at the Red Sea. They got much to fear, hadn't they? They got the great hosts of Pharaoh that were coming behind them, pursuing them, overtaking them. They got the sea before them. And they got the mountains on each side. I understand the word Pi-ha-hi-roth, where they came to, meant a very narrow place. And you see, there may be those of you tonight in some very narrow places. And you fear. And the Lord was to send that word from heaven to the children of Israel to calm all their fears. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord calms the fears of his people. And this is what Joseph, as the beautiful type of the Lord Jesus, was to do. Fear ye not. Now why have they not got to fear? Why have the children of Israel not got to fear? Why have you not got to fear? Well, look at the case here before us. Everything was in the hand of Joseph. All the keys of the storehouses of Egypt were in his hand. Oh, you go back to that wonderful 45th chapter. We read it at Uffington last night. And you think of the wonderful way the Lord brought them into Egypt. to dwell in the land of Goshen. And you can see there in that beautiful chapter how all the keys of the storehouses were in Joseph's hand, and Joseph was Lord over all Egypt. And think of the heavenly Joseph tonight. He alone can control all what you're in. We sing, don't we? And we so often forget it. Well, I do. I'll leave the other with you. But ye fearful saints, you see. But our life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. You see, the minute circumstance of these brethren of Joseph was in the Lord's hand. Oh, it was. In Joseph's hand particularly, as the type of Christ, the heavenly Joseph. Our life's minutest circumstance. You know, it's easy to say it, it's easy to sing it, but to know the reality of it, nothing comes by chance. You see, what they were brought into here, and so often with the Lord's people, and one feels it so much, it's to bring real exercise in us. Oh, it is. Where would we be if everything went smooth, everything was palatable to us? There wouldn't be much prayer, would there? There wouldn't be much concern, there wouldn't be much exercise. The Lord will have his dear children exercised before him. And here there was so much they were in to exercise. So he says to them, fear ye not, fear ye not. And go back to the children of Israel. What was this to do? It was to calm their fears. And only the Lord could speak it, fear ye not. May be those around you, your loved ones, or it may be your dear friends may say when they see you in certain circumstances, oh, but you've no need to fear. We know the Lord can use that, but what we need is the Lord to tell us it, don't we? I may have said before, but my late dear grandfather, on one occasion I went to see him, and the dear man, you know, was so tossed by Satan, so tempted. He was almost beside himself because of the onslaughts of Satan. And I tried to pacify his mind and say, well, the Lord can deliver you from this great enemy. He can cast him out. And he can visit your soul again, like we sung in the hymn just now. And the dear man, he looked at me, he said, you know, what I need is the Lord to tell me that, to take away all these fears I have concerning Satan and all his power. Now, therefore, fear ye not. Now, may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply that to us. Fear ye not. Why? Because it's all in the hands of the Lord, you see. The sea with the children of Israel was in the Lord's hand. Pharaoh and his host were in the Lord's hand. And they had to prove it, didn't they? You look how he took off the chariot wheels when they were in the sea. So they drove them heavily. He divided the sea for the children of Israel. Look at it here. You see, the Lord had wonderfully provided Joseph to be ruler over all Egypt. And he'd prospered the land all while Joseph was there. It was all in the Lord's hand, and it's all in the heavenly Joseph's hand today. And yet we're creatures of fear, aren't we? We drag along and fear where no fear is. If only we could see, it's all in his hand. The psalmist knew it, didn't he? And we often hear it preached from, and we often sing of it. We did last night at Uffington. Of our time, my times are in thy hand. He's the sovereign ruler, you see, of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. But I must hasten. And then he goes further. I will nourish you. Wonderful word, isn't it? I will nourish you. They needed this in two ways. And so does the child of God. They were to need nourishment. They'd known so much of the famine. But here in the land of Goshen, the Lord had was going to wonderfully nourish them. And they'd experienced it in the days prior to Father Israel's death. That natural nourishment. You see, it's vital for our bodies, isn't it? Nourishment. You take a little babe, how it needs nourishment that it might grow. I remember when I took his funeral some years ago, dear Mr. Coe at Laken, the deacon at Lakenheath. That dear man in the war was in one of the gas chambers in Germany. And, you know, he suffered much, particularly toward the latter end of his life with his breathing because of the gas chambers they were put in and the lack of nourishment. You see, it had its effect. And we need nourishment for our bodies, don't we, to sustain us. But you look at it regarding God's people too, they need heavenly nourishment. That nourishment they need flows through a precious Jesus. And this was all to flow through Joseph to them. The heavenly Joseph today will nourish his dear people. He'll nourish them in his word. He'll nourish them by leading them into his sufferings, his death, his glorious resurrection. He knows a good feeding ground in the sufferings of Christ, a vital nourishment for a poor, needy sinner. And the same applies with his precious word. If the Lord gives you a word, it'll be nourishment like it was to Jeremiah. What did he say? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You see, he didn't just have the word. He knew what it was for that word to nourish him. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. He partook of the word, you see. It's a wonderful thing to be a partaker in, of God's word and of his blessing, and the peace of God and the mercy that he gives to his people. It's nourishment. You think of the publican. He went to his house justified rather than the other. That dear man had received heavenly nourishment, pardon and peace in his soul and justification. Nourishment to a child of God. I will. Now look at the certainty of this. I will. He didn't say, I may do, or perhaps I will, or they got to do this and got to do that, and then he would give it to them. No, I will nourish you. Look how comprehensive this is. I will, the Lord says through Joseph to them. And may the heavenly Joseph whisper it to you tonight. I will nourish you. You may say, oh, but you look at the circumstance, you look at my soul, you look at all what I'm in. Will the Lord fulfill it? Yes, Paul said. I will, because what he has said will never return void. but he shall accomplish that which he please and prosper in the thing whereto he sent him. And when he spoke this to these brethren, the Lord was to fulfill it. I will, the Lord speaking, through Joseph, nourish you. But then, just briefly, and it wasn't just for them, it was for their little ones. Their little ones. Must have been a wonderful confirmation to them. Not only would the Lord nourish these brethren of Joseph that had so hated him and kicked and rebelled against him, but he was to nourish their little ones. Let me just hint at it in two ways and then I must leave it. But first of all, look at it naturally. Oh, what a prospect. You think of the dear young ones we have on the Lord's Day. May the Lord fulfill that in each of our families. I will nourish them and nourish you and your little ones. There's going to be a following on, you see. He was so concerned about these little ones. And then there's the little ones in Zion in the things of God. The babes in Christ. They need nourishment. And this nourishment was to flow down to these little ones. It's like you look at a flock of sheep. Those little lambs rely upon their mother's milk to start with, but they're soon nibbling the grass or the hay. And you see, the blessings naturally flow down to them. What the dear old sheep feed upon, the little lambs nibble a little here and a little there, and it's nourishment to them. That's why they grow. And oh, may there be a real growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And it all flows through this nourishment the Lord gives to his dear people. And he comforted them. The one here tonight that needs that comfort, well, I haven't time, the time's gone, but to go into it. And he comforted them. You know, the blessed comforter, the Holy Ghost, will convey that comfort down to poor sinners. What did Jesus say? I will send the comforter unto you. That blessed comforter, the Holy Ghost, who conveys the comfort of heaven into the souls of his dear people. And there's no comfort like that in it. Oh, natural comfort, though we praise the Lord for it, is wonderful, but this surpasses it all. Jesus said to the sorrowing disciples, didn't he? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then we read, and spake kindly unto them. I noticed when I turned the pages to look at the text to announce it tonight, it says in the margin, regarding this, kindly unto them. It says to their heart. And you see, that's where we need that comfort, isn't it? In our hearts. And he kindly, he spake kindly to them. Oh, how kind the Lord is. It's been with me much this week. And I tried to preach from it Uffington last night. His everlasting kindness to his dear people. His everlasting. His excellent loving kindness. We read in Psalm 36. his kindness. And then I'll leave you with this. What did the Lord say? But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Well, I've scratched around the surface. May thee, Holy Spirit, sweetly apply this text to us. And he must have all the praise. Amen.